It has been an excruciating wait for food and supplies since Hurricane Maria devastated the U.S. island of Puerto Rico more than a week ago. The show's Lauren Gilger joins us for more now. And good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. So, yeah, as you said, the wait has been long and it's ongoing. There's still no power for millions who live there, which also means no running water. I got a hold of John Rabin this morning. He's the acting regional administrator of FEMA Region 2, and he's in Puerto Rico now. And I asked him what FEMA is doing right now to help.
We are working with Puerto Rico to really start delivering more and more commodities. We're working on establishing and building a plan for restoring power, doing our debris removal. We've got Department of Defense assets here with us that are engaged in route clearance to get the roads cleared, and also engaged with doing some assessments of hospitals. We're delivering fuel to both hospitals as well as helping to deliver some fuel to supermarkets and stores and hotels and hospitals and things like that. All this stuff is done in coordination with our partners in Puerto Rico.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit about that distribution challenge. It's been reported that you're facing challenges sort of truck drivers to move these goods, private goods and FEMA goods. And yesterday, Representative Ruben Gallego here of Arizona criticized this. He said, quote, that the military has thousands of drivers, put them on a plane to Puerto Rico. Is that a viable option at this point? Can you fly in more help to distribute these supplies?
So we are, Puerto Rico is seeing more and more drivers and their trucks arriving every day. As each day passes, more and more of the citizens of Puerto Rico are able to move around a little bit more. The streets are getting clear, so they're able to come back to work. And the governor has been very clear asking for and urging truck drivers to bring their trucks back to work. And I think he's making some progress there. We're seeing more and more trucks and more truck drivers that are coming. From a FEMA perspective, we are being supported by the Department of Defense. And the Department of Defense has provided trucks as well as drivers. And we've got more coming as well. But the success of this and the end result of this has to be a whole community effort. So that includes having the private sector truck drivers as well as our military truck drivers to start helping build that supply chain.
The Jones Act was temporarily waived by the Trump administration, and that's the century-old shipping law that prohibits foreign ships from shipping goods between U.S. ports, and it was hurting relief efforts. So how do you think that's going to help in coming days, that this has now been suspended and that's opened up?
That's right. So the Jones Act's going to help bring in some material via sea. Our challenge is to really make sure that we are working on, once the material arrives, is the distribution aspect. So as the roads get cleared and as the people start returning to work and the truck drivers, as that continues to improve and the fuel distribution program continues to get better and improve, I think we're up to almost 600 gas stations that are open across the island, we'll be able to start moving the material out of the ports a little bit faster. So the fuel right now, there's fuel in the ports. We are just working with both the power generation to move the fuel and the transportation, the local transportation, to move the fuel from the ports into the communities.
Yeah. And John, looking at this from a long-term point of view, what do you anticipate the timeline might look like to get things up and running, to get people back into housing and back to living some semblance of a normal life?
That's a great question. This is a catastrophic storm. It's a catastrophic storm that hit an island. So the challenges and the complexity of response and recovery are really, really significant. We're going to measure recovery in years and not months. Mm-hmm. We have great partnerships with Puerto Rico and the governor, and we've got the entire federal government here ready to help. Housing is going to be a challenge. Building the electrical power grid back up is going to be a challenge. There are a lot of challenges facing Puerto Rico in the very near future. Clearing the roads and the infrastructure is going to be a challenge. None of this stuff is going to get measured in weeks and months, but rather in years.
Yeah, this is a monumental challenge, but there's been a lot of criticism of the federal government's response to this not being fast enough. Do you think those are fair?
I think that there's context to everything. Disasters are challenging and complex incidents to start with. And when you add the complexity to a catastrophic storm on an island where 3.5 million people live, those challenges and that complexity just increases. It took days for the storm to pass and for the tropical winds to subside before we could get ports and the airports open. We had to additionally wait for the tropical winds to provide, but we also had to clear the ports and the airports to make sure that they could be open for the safe and effective and efficient delivery of resources. So that island aspect of this makes it even even more complex. Just yesterday, we got the radar reestablished, a temporary radar reestablished at the airport in San Juan, and it took almost 3 days to get to the antennas in the mountainous areas of Puerto Rico because we had to clear the roads. The roads had to get cleared. There's that much debris. There's that much damage to get out there. So the complexity of this response and this recovery is significant.
John Rabin, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
John Rabin is FEMA's acting administrator in Region 2.